Applying the blood. Amen. Applying the blood. Focused thought comes to experience the new birth. The blood of Jesus must be applied. And then Romans chapter 5, verse 5 through 10 is the focus verse. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And then the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verse 1 through 8. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said, we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in a basin, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the blood of the covenant, the book of the covenant, and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Acts 2:38, and Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then lastly, 1 John 1:7 said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Thank God for his word. Amen. Before we're seated, we want to especially pray today for Sister Hunt. Her mother passed away. Got news, I guess, this morning. She's going there in Louisiana. And so please pray for Sister Hunt today and the Hunt family. If you would please go with me to the throne. It's a special need as we're going to the Lord today. Let's just go to the Lord right now. All right. Okay. So remember Gail today. Right. Okay. Thank you, Sister Glad. All right. Let's pray together, shall we? Jesus Christ, thank you for an open door to the very throne room of God that we can come. Bring with us our petitions and ask, knowing that we will be heard before the audience of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, all power is in your hand. And you can do what we cannot. You can be where we cannot be. I ask you to be with Sister Hunt right now as she travels. God, give her safe travel. Keep your hand upon her, God, as she drives today. You know it's very hard in her present condition, but I pray that you be with her. Give her peace, the peace passes understanding. Let her mind, O God, be at rest, and her spirit at peace. Give that strength that is yours and yours alone. We ask it in your name. We pray for Gail today that you heal her body. Pray for Sister Flad that you would work in her behalf today and give her help. Thank you for hearing us and helping us. We've asked you so many times, and yet we're not weary. You're not weary with our coming. And you're always here, and you always help. And we're so very thankful to you, and we want to give you all the praise and all the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, Lord bless you. Sister Lottie, do you have a testimony you were going to share with us this morning? I'd like to hear good reports.
This is the first time I've ever been to church. When we were waiting on your arrival, I was no longer able to work and had to stay home on the couch. Every week, a group of ladies from the United Pentecostal Church would come by and pray for us. God heard our prayers and the prayers of those special ladies. You were loved even before you were born. And she's a senior in high school this year.
Praise the Lord.
Thanks to the ladies from your church who prayed.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Thank God. Aren't you glad for people that pray?
Amen.
There's no how, but people actually do it.
Right.
Amen. Brother Martin, why don't you stand and give us a good word, if you would, please.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We baptized seven.
Isn't that great? Amen.
Yeah,
that's all right. That's okay. He's used to it.
We baptized six, and then a guy rolled up in a wheelchair and said, I won't be baptized, but I don't think you can baptize or baptize me. And I said, oh, you won't be baptized.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Glory.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
We also had a gentleman politely known as Shaky. Y'all seen his name up on the prayer list. And Shaky is not Shaky anymore. Praise the Lord. We found him down at the altar just shaking and praying and praying to him. We go to your phone down and ride. And all of a sudden, as we watched, his arms just receiving strength, his legs receiving strength, quit shaking.
Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the God we serve. Amen. He's a prayer answering, healing, saving, delivering, providing God. And we appreciate Him today. We want to be careful to give Him thanks and praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we want to learn today about to apply. You know, application's important. If you had a disease and you went to a doctor and he treated you for free, wouldn't that be nice? And then he gave you medication for free that would guarantee that you would be healed and helped. But if you were so foolish as not to apply it, wouldn't that be sad? I mean, everything's been done. And all you got to do is take the medicine. You've got to apply it. It can't do you any good in the bottle or the tube. You got to take it. But if you take it, it'll work. And so that's the case today, isn't it? The blood of Jesus has been shed. It will do the work. It will cleanse. It's been proven for 2,000 years that it will cleanse, it will heal, it will save. But we have to apply it. So what we're going to study about today is the application. We've got to apply it. You've got to put it on. You've got to get it active and working in your life. And so it has to be actually, we have to understand that it does work. Does work, but it has to be applied. John Calvin was a very famous preacher, and in the Middle Ages, and he started Calvinism. Presbyterian Church came out of that. But Calvin he read three different sets of scriptures and three principles about God that he had difficulty reconciling. He read first of all, that Jesus shed his redemptive blood for all mankind. Everybody say all mankind.
All mankind.
It's for everybody, isn't it?
Amen.
And then the scripture says that it is God's will that everybody be saved.
Everybody.
everybody be saved. And then Jesus told us in his writings or in his parables that many people would be lost. So how do you reconcile that? It's God's will that everybody be saved. Provision has been made so that everybody can be saved. So why then will many be lost? This was Calvin's dilemma. And so the way he reconciled this was just to decide, well, since he's God and he's going to get what he wants, and God always gets what he wants, that's what he thought. So he said, well, then God must just choose who's going to be saved. So according to Calvinism, if God chooses you to be saved, there's nothing you can do about it. You're going to be saved because you do. God's going to save you. If God didn't choose you to be saved, there's nothing you can do to be saved. Well, that doesn't sound right, does it? Well, the good news is it's not. It's not right. And then on the other side of the other extreme of Calvinism, we have the universalist. Universalists just simply believe that everybody's going to be saved. And again, nothing you can do, you're just going to be saved, period. And so that's their belief. So we have one believing that only a few that God selects, and there's nothing you can do about it. And then the universalist that everybody's going to be saved, there's nothing you can do about it. But each of these groups leave out one very important part of the equation, and that is free will. God gave every human being a free will. Now, here's the way it is. God wants you to be saved. That's his vote. Satan wants you to be lost. That's his vote. You hold the deciding vote. If you vote with God, you'll be saved. If you vote with Satan, you'll be lost. But we have to make the deciding vote. God gave us a free will. And that's compassionate of God. That's he does not force us to do anything. God will not make you do something. So we have to decide. And God allows us to decide even when it's contrary to what he wants. Now, he wants everybody to be saved, but he'll not force anybody to be saved. Because that's not the way he works. That's not the kind of God that he is. And so even though he wants everybody to be saved, not everybody will be saved. The Bible said the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, you never have to pray, God, if it's your will, save so and so. It is his will. You never have to pray. That's one thing you know is the will of God, is that every human being be saved. You don't ever have to say if it's your will, because it is his will. He said that right there. He put it down in black and white so that we can see it and memorize it and let it sink into our hearts and our spirit. It is the will of God that every human being be saved. That's going to happen, unfortunately. But it is the will of God. Amen. That's what he wants. He made it so. The Bible said the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. Amen. That's at the very end of the Bible. That's God is just saying. See what is it? He's saying the Spirit says come, and the bride, the church says come, and everybody that's already heard and has come, let them say, come on, come on, come on. I read a story years ago that was very touching. It was about an orphanage and a little boy that had been taken there. It was his first night. And as they were there, and somebody passed him a glass of milk. And he took the glass, and then he looked at him, and he said, how deep shall I drink? And they said, what do you mean? He said, well, where I come from, you know, we have a glass and everybody drinks out of the glass and we can just drink so deep. So how deep should I drink? And they said, honey, that's all yours. And if that's not enough, we got some more. Amen. I'm telling you today, in Jesus Christ, you don't drink just a little bit. Amen. It's an endless supply. So that's why he said, come to the rivers of life and let him drink freely. Amen. Get all you want. There's waters to swim in. Amen. And so there's plenty and there's more. Amen. Applying the blood of the testament. We remember and we have approached this subject. I'm glad I've enjoyed this series, but I'm glad we're coming to the end because we've approached this thing from 12 different directions and I'm running out of different ways. And I think they are too because we keep kind of repeating, but that's all right. Repetition is the essence of education. Is that right? Amen. And so we see the application of the blood in the Old Testament. This was something God started. It's kind of gruesome. It's ugly. I don't like blood. One time somebody gave me a nilgai, which is an Asian antelope down in South Texas. And so I was trying to cut it up. And I cut into that thing, and I cut my thumb real good. And I got that animal blood in my blood. Started craving grass, growing up goat teeth, hopping around. No, I didn't really. I was afraid I might, but that didn't happen. Turned out I was okay. Amen. But in the Old Testament, it's all about the blood, and that started in the garden. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, God actually took an animal, he slew it, shed its blood, took its garments, put on their bodies to cover their sin. That was the beginning of it. That apparently carried on because their sons, Cain and Abel, brought sacrifices to the Lord. And they were blood sacrifices. And Abraham, all the patriarchs, they continued with the blood sacrifices. Wasn't just in Israel. Every ancient religion was the same. They all offered blood sacrifices. Isn't that strange that they would all offer the same kind of sacrifices, even though they were worshiping different gods? Some of them went as far as to offer human sacrifices. And I think that was Satan making a mockery in a prophetic way of the coming of Jesus Christ. But nonetheless, that was a part of it. It's all through the Old Testament. And if you'll remember, when God was ready for Israel out of Egypt, he sent his prophet to Pharaoh and he said, let my people go. Now they had been in slavery for 430 years. And God said, it's time, let my people go. Now that's a lot of free labor, 430 years. But now God said, it's payday, it's time to let them go. And of course, Pharaoh hardened his heart, wouldn't let them go. And then God began to send these plagues upon Egypt, and there were 10 of them. And each one seemed to be a little worse than the last. And by the time 9 plagues had been shed upon Egypt, I mean, there was a barren place. All of the crops were destroyed. Most of the livestock had died. And I mean, I don't know about you. I cannot imagine a plague of frogs, where everything's frogs. You walk on frogs. You sit down on frogs. If you try to lay down on slimy frogs, and they're croaking all night long, and you feel like you're about to croak. Frogs everywhere. Frogs. Ooh. Slimy, cold people. Isn't that awful? Lice. The ground became like lice. Thick darkness. Locust. I remember one time after church on a Sunday night, Midland, Texas, I walked outside and, I mean, the ground was covered with grasshoppers. They were everywhere. I got in my car, I couldn't even hardly drive. They were on the road and there were so many then, and it was slick. They had a ball game going and they had to call seriously because grasshoppers just invaded the city. That's what happened in Israel. It was the whole country. And of course, they ate all the plants and ate things up. It was I'm telling you, it was bad. And yet Pharaoh kept saying, no, I'm not going to let him go until God said, okay, we're going to play hardball here. And so he sent a message, and he told everybody. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a lamb, a first year male, perfect, without a blemish, without spot. It's got to be healthy. Put him in the house, keep him for about a month, and let everybody get used to him, let everybody get attached to him. And then he said, I want you to kill that lamb. I want you to roast him. I want you to eat all of him. And if there's not enough of you, then invite your neighbors, eat all the lamb. He said, I want you to take the blood and put it in a vessel. And then I want you to take a hyssop branch and walk over to your door that goes into your house. And I want you to put it on each side of that door and then apply it above the door. I want blood applied. Everybody say applied. Applied in three places. And he said, when I see the blood, the angel will pass over you. And so it was vital that they apply the blood. Simple, wasn't it? It was not hard to do. It was something that everybody could do. They just simply had to do it. It was a simple act of obedience. That's all it was. Just simply doing what the Lord said. It was not enough to kill the lamb. It was not enough to eat the lamb. They had to apply the blood. And when the death angel came, in every place that the blood was applied, whether it was a Jewish home or an Egyptian home, he passed over and there was no death of the firstborn. But in houses where the blood was not applied, there was the death of the firstborn. Now, this is God's doing. It's a sovereign thing. He gave them 9 chances, did everything possible to get Pharaoh's attention, to convince him that he meant business. I would say that's a lot of mercy, wouldn't you? Amen. God went to a lot of trouble to let Pharaoh know. Now, by the way, and I don't have time to get into this, but each of those plagues represented one of the gods of Egypt. So each time there was a plague, God was showing Pharaoh that God. Because that God can't counteract what I'm doing. And so he was showing him his superiority. And yet he insisted on being... Now, the key is that people had to apply the blood. That's all there was. It was just simple. Wasn't hard to do. Very, very easy to do. They just had to do it. God's plan is simple. It's still simple. It's not hard for people to be saved today. It's easy. But we do just have to cooperate. We have to be obedient. We just simply have to do what the Lord has asked us to. In the book of Hebrews, in the 9th chapter, this is a rather lengthy reading, but stay with me here. He said, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without. For when Moses had spoken every precept, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle, all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So what the scripture is saying here in these verses is that, and it was, we read that in earlier in the context, how that when all the people were gathered together, that he took the blood and he anointed the writings, he anointed all the vessels, he anointed everything, anointed the altar. And then, to me, this is, I bet they never forgot this. I would never have forgotten this. He went out to the congregation and he took that blood and he sprinkled the people with it. He just would dip his hand in blood and he would get across the congregation. If I did that today, we would have some angry people in this congregation. Amen. But I promise you one thing, they didn't forget that day. Every last one of them remembered the sprinkling of the blood, didn't they? Guarantee you. They told their children, they told their grandchildren about the day that he took that blood and he sprinkled it on the people. And so it was, the Bible said, but that this is, God was giving them an object lesson. Something that they would never, ever forget. And then he goes on to say, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So he said that Jesus, this was the earthly tabernacle, all of that. But he said Jesus didn't enter into that tabernacle that was made out of ram skins and goat skins and badger skins. He said, but he's entered into the heavenly tabernacle. That old tabernacle made out of skins lasted for a long time. But it's somewhere on the winds of history today. It's all decayed and gone away. Amen. But Jesus sent to a tabernacle with hands in the heavens. And he's our high priest, our great high priest. And he represents us today. Amen. And he brought a sacrifice, not the blood of bulls and goats, but his own blood. And so here's as much pure. Nor yet that he should offer himself often. Everybody say often. As the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others, then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, everybody say once. Once in the end of the world hath he appeared to lay sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So, Jesus offered one sacrifice in the end for all. So, Old Testament, you remember, many, many millions, multiplied millions of sacrifices over the period of thousands of years. And if you stacked them, they'd make mountains. The river would be, their blood would become a literal river. But all those sacrifices had one thing. They were pointing toward the one sacrifice, Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about them rolling ahead sins every year. Every year. Roll sins ahead. Where was it rolling to? It was rolling to Calvary. And when they got to Calvary, this is God's estimation. But God viewed the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God himself, manifest in human flesh. And when that blood was shed, It was the only blood out of all those millions of sacrifices that could wash away sins for all time. And it did. One time. The Bible said he entered once. One sacrifice. And that was enough, praise the Lord, for all the sins of all mankind for all time. Amen. He said, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so he's going to come back to them that are what? That are looking for him. Amen. And by his sacrifice and his sacrifice alone can we be saved. But we have to apply the blood. The blood has been shed. But we have to apply the blood. So how do we apply the blood of Jesus Christ to us today? Amen. That's the question. Christ died. He was buried. And he rose again, according to the scriptures. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. And so Acts 2:38 tells us how to apply his blood according to the scriptures. Amen. It makes it very easy, very plain for us. So here's how we appropriate the shed blood of Jesus Christ to our own lives. Amen. And so let's look at that again. That Christ died. He was buried. He rose again. Now, the Bible says that repentance is death to sin. That's true. When you come to the Lord, you don't just tell God you're sorry for your sins, but you tell God you don't want to do it anymore. God, I need you to help me because I don't want to do this. I don't want to live like this. I want to be a different person. Isn't that right? Amen. I want to change the way I'm living. I don't want to live like this. I don't want to be under these addictions. I don't want to have these problems. And that's what we're saying. So we literally die to sin, and that he was buried. Amen. The Bible says we are buried with him in baptism. And that's why we baptize, or the scripture teaches baptism. By the way, the word baptize means to submerge or to plunge under. That's what the word means. That's its meaning. So there's nothing in the scripture about sprinkling concerning baptism. That was people came up with that idea. When they started baptizing babies, it's not scriptural either. But when churches started baptizing babies, it wasn't logical to submerge them, so they sprinkled them. But that's not the biblical pattern. Always, the Bible said, you look at the scriptures, it says that John was baptizing, preceding Jesus, in Jordan because there was much water there. Well, why do they need a lot of people to sprinkle people? Yeah. Is that right? I heard one time it got so dry that some people started sprinkling and others just used a damper. Well, that's dry, isn't it? But that's not Pentecostal. We're going to find water somewhere because that's what the Bible said. Isn't that neat? They got a laundry hamper and baptized a guy in it. You know what they were doing in Iraq a few years ago? They got pickup trucks and then put plastic in the bed of the pickup and filled it up with water out in the desert, you know? So they'd just get a pickup in the bed of the pickup and they just put plastic in there so it'd hold water, got buckets and filled that buddy up, and they were baptizing soldiers in Jesus' name. Right out there in the hot sands of Iraq. Amen. Where there's a will, there's a way. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We didn't have much time one time. I was out of town and this lady, she was quite elderly. I think she was probably 90 or close to it. And she wanted to be baptized. And it was kind of a deal where she had to be baptized. She was old enough to know what she wanted, but her husband didn't want her to be baptized, so they baptized her while he wasn't around. So my wife was the only one who was available to do that, so they got this sister and they got her in the tub and they got buckets and just kept pouring them on until she was baptized. Amen. You just find a way to get it done. Amen. Somebody wants to be baptized, there's a way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And baptism by immersion, that's why we use the burial thing. We're buried with him in baptism. And that's what baptism, you go down in that grave, and then the Bible says you rise to walk in newness of life. And that's resurrection, isn't it? So we are buried with him in baptism, and then we rise to walk according as he rose on the third day, and we rise to walk in a new life. That's what baptism is all about. So on the day of Pentecost, Peter got through preaching that first sermon, and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." See, that's the perfect complement, isn't it? It's all there. It's all there. Death is there, repentance. Baptism is there, that's burial. And resurrection's there, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so everything's in that verse, and that completes. That's how we apply the blood to our life. Amen. We do it through repentance, we do it through baptism, and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that's how we receive or appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ in the Christian life. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 said, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, have the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let them esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of the other. Amen. This is a verse that helps us to apply the blood of Jesus Christ to our life in fellowship. Now, in the law, there were five different kinds of sacrifices. Two of them had to deal with national sacrifices and individual sacrifices. There was, and they're probably the ones that most people know about, talk about. Of course, one of them was the sin offering. One was the trespass offering. The trespass offering, this was what it was all about. It was an offering that was something that either threatened relationship with God or relationship with others. And that's what it was for. So you didn't trespass. Amen. Remember that verse in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our what? Trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Couldn't say that. He said, forgive us our trash baskets as we trash basket those that are against us. Amen. That's how you get rid of the, that's okay. Trash baskets, that's fine. That's as close as you can get. Amen. Don't bring the trash. However you do it. Amen. All of us got a trash basket, right? Amen. And so that's what this verse is all about. You see, we're seeking not only peace with God, but we need one another. The Bible said all that, as Paul said, all that is in with all that is in you, let us strive for peace. Now I know we can't make peace with everybody. Some people don't want peace. Is that right? Some people don't want peace. You can't make peace with somebody that doesn't want peace. The best you can do is just wish them well and stay out of their way. That's right. Some people you can't make peace with. But you don't have to be upset with them even if they're upset with you. You can forgive them whether or not they forgive you. And so that's how we have to handle some things. Does that make sense to anybody? Sometimes that's just what we have to do. Amen. We just have to, but this is the ideal, is to have peace with everybody. Amen. Let nothing be done, he said, through strife or vainglory. We got to watch our motive for why we do things. Are we doing something just so we'll get praise for it? Are we doing something so we can show somebody else up? You know, really, Christianity is not a competitive sport. Let me say it again. It's not a competitive sport. It's a cooperative effort. We work together. It's not about showing somebody up. I love that, and this was a true happening that was in Special Olympics, as they were running. One of the comrades fell close to the finish line, and instead of the others dashing ahead to win the race, they stopped and picked that one up, and they all went across together. That's the spirit of Christianity. It's not seeing who can get there first. It's making sure that we all get there. Amen. We don't want to cross the finish line alone. Amen. We want to bring others with us. That's the spirit of cooperation. That's what we're trying to do. Amen. And so it's not just about me as a person. It's about others. He said, and let each esteem other better than themselves instead of thinking we're better than everybody else. Put things in perspective. Amen. Now, this is not encouraging you to be inferior or to feel inferior. Amen. Do you know what the basis of inferiority is? Selfishness. That's right. Do you know why people generally put themselves down in the presence of others? So that others will say, oh, that's not true. You're a really great person, right? You know why? We want to hear that, don't we? So if we put ourselves down, that's what other people say. generally they're not going to agree with us, right? I mean, you got to be careful around some people like Brother Fry. He'll just go ahead and let you have it. Amen. In a good spirit, of course. Amen. But you know, we do that. I'm just no good today. People say, oh, you're just having a bad day. You're a great person, and boy, I'm just eating that up. I'm feeding my ego. Amen. And we like that, and that's being a human being. That's how humans are. Amen. So we struggle with it, but let me just tell you something today. If you're a Christian serving God, doing your best, you're not inferior to anybody. And to concentrate on yourself is not the way to get ahead. You got to forget about you and understand this. It's all about Him. This is not about me. And I can't get my feelings involved in this. Amen. It's not a matter of whether anybody likes me or doesn't like me. What this is about representing Jesus Christ. And letting Him shine through. And if somehow I can get to that place, then I can forge ahead regardless of whether my ego's being fed or not. Amen. Now, don't you think you don't have an ego, because everybody here's got one. Amen. Praise the Lord. But if we can be like Jesus. Jesus taught us the perfect way. You know, Jesus never put Himself down, not one time. Mm-mm, never did, because that would have been about Himself. He never did that. He didn't boast. He didn't brag about Himself. But on the other hand, he didn't put Himself down either. He understood who I am in Jesus Christ. And I'm here to represent God. And if you and I can get that, then we can live a balanced life. And that's what we're trying to do, isn't it? Amen. As Christians, we apply the blood through repentance. Amen. Confession to God. Or someone we've wronged. Wow. Confession to God. Or what? Or someone we have wronged. Is there anything to that? Do you think that we still have to say we're sorry? Years ago, there was a book, and it was famous for that one line. It said, love means never having to say you're sorry. That's the biggest bunch of baloney I ever heard. Amen. If you love somebody and you've offended them, you need to make it right. Hello? I said, if you offend somebody and you know you did, you need to make it right. Amen. That's not easy, but it's the right thing to do. Appropriate restitution. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't it be awful to steal somebody's car in the church and then you repent and get the Holy Ghost and keep their car? Now that'd take a lot of grace, brother. Oh, but that's under the blood now. Praise God. I've been forgiven. Yeah, but you got my car. Give it back. That's restitution. Some things we need to make right. Some things it's impossible to make right. You've got to just let it go. But sometimes we need to make a little restitution. Acceptance of His cleansing. Acceptance. Everybody say acceptance. You know, you can do so little. We have to just get that. Brother Billy Cole made a tremendous statement, but I've never forgotten about this very thing. He said that when you ask God to forgive, you are forgiven. He said, but the joy comes when you realize that you're forgiven and you believe that you're forgiven. You're forgiven when you ask. But, you know, you don't get too excited unless you believe it really happened. But when you believe, hey, I asked Him and He said, if we confess our sins, He's just and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us, amen, from our sins. And so we have to accept His cleansing. Accept. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't merit it. You have to accept it. That's how it comes to us. Amen. That's the only way we can get it. Amen. Is through just applying the blood. That's how we apply it to our lives. That's how we put it on. Amen. That's the way we get it done. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 tells us that God purchased the church with His own blood. The blood of God. Now, here's the astounding fact is that God is a spirit. But God had no blood, but in fullness of time, He came, God did, and put Himself into a human body that had blood. And that became His blood. And in 33 years that He lived on the earth, He did good. And He taught truth. And He represented Himself to the human race. The Bible said God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. But in fullness of time, God took that human sacrifice, that blood, the only blood that God ever had. He went to a place called Calvary. He allowed Roman soldiers to drive nails through His hands and nails through His feet and crown of thorns on His head and beat His back until it was just nothing but a bloody mass of suffering. And He allowed all of that and shed that blood for us. That's why Lanny Wolfe wrote a song years ago, said that blood was precious blood. And it was like no other blood in the world. It was God's blood. And God shed and gave the only blood that He ever had so that He could humanity cleanse us from our sins. How valuable is the blood of God? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? There's no way that you could ever put a price on the blood of God. But let me tell you how precious it is to God. God sees His blood as so special that it's the only thing that can clean. It's the only thing. The blood of all those bulls and goats and turtle doves that was shed for thousands of years could never remove one sin. Amen. But one drop of the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse sins today. It's the only blood that works. Nothing, I love that old song, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's nothing I can do except accept it and apply it. Amen. Brother J.T. Pugh told a story years ago in a sermon I heard. He talked about a little lady going to the store, threadbare, very poor, and just going through the aisles picking bare essentials and a few eggs, some milk, just this, that, just what she had to have. She went to the register and checked out, and then she says to the cashier, said, "Would you please just put that on the money today? But as soon as I get money, I'll pay you." And the cashier said, "I'm so sorry, but your account is too full. We can't add anymore. We can't do any longer." And the little lady became distraught. She said, "But the baby's got to have milk. Children need bread. It's not much. Just bare essentials. Please, can't you just let me have it one more time?" And the little cashier said, "I'm sorry." And about that time, somebody stepped up, and a good man, and he said, "Why don't you just put it on my bill?" And the little lady turned around, and the cashier looked, her eyes got big, and because he had a vast account. He was a wealthy, wealthy, wealthy man. And there would be no end for the supplies that his account could buy. And so he said, just put it all on my bill. Amen. And that's exactly how the blood of Jesus Christ works, folks. If I have to go by my righteousness, I'm bankrupt. There's nothing there to pay. No way. I can't pay for my sin. That old song, the old account was settled. Amen. That's a beautiful old song that said the old account was large and grow every day. For I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I went into the keeper and I said long ago, hallelujah, the only way that I could pay is through the Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can cleanse me. See, all I can do with my sins is fall on the blood of Jesus. Amen. Aren't you glad for the blood today? We got to apply it, right? We just simply apply it by simple obedience. I've heard people say, well, you know, baptism is works. No, baptism is not works. It's obedience. It's just doing what Jesus said. That's all it is. Amen. It's simple faith, just doing what he said. May not make sense to you. Doesn't have to. Just obey. Amen. Repentance. Baptism. The name of Jesus Christ. Infilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God's great and gracious gift. What a privilege today. That's how we apply the blood. Let's stand together right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done. Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And this is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
say praise the Lord. Well, it's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord this morning, worshiping Him, praise the Lord. God is so good to us. Let's sing another one, sister.